From that I report in Sartell, Minnesota, we're heading to the Middle East as we kick off today's show. President Obama is on a four-day trip to the region, and it started yesterday in Israel. That's where he met with Israeli President Shimon Peres. Now, one interesting point here, in Israel's government, the president is mostly a ceremonial position. The person who runs the country's government is the prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. President Obama also met with him yesterday. Leaders talked about some of the issues they both face, like how to address Iran's controversial nuclear program. Another issue on the agenda for this trip, the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. Today, President Obama is scheduled to visit the West Bank, a Palestinian territory. He's set to meet Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority. So he's talking to leaders on both sides of this conflict. Tomorrow, after a few other stops in Israel, the president will head to Jordan. There, he's scheduled to do a news conference with Jordan's King Abdullah. Then he heads back to the U.S. from Jordan on Saturday. So why is the president making this trip? Part of his job is diplomacy, to represent the United States to the world. That's why he meets other world leaders. Plus, the U.S. and Israel are close allies, so visiting that country reinforces the strength of that relationship. Quick side note to this trip. Yesterday we told you about the Beast, the U.S. President's personal limousine. It went to Israel ahead of President Obama so it could be there when he landed. Unfortunately, the Beast went bust. It wouldn't start, had to be towed away. An official said the driver accidentally filled it up with regular gas instead of what it needs, diesel fuel. Oops. Nothing to worry about, though. When the president travels overseas, multiple vehicles are usually along for the ride. So when President Obama landed, the backup Beast was ready to go. It's hard to forget someone like Malala Yousafzai. In her home country of Pakistan, where fewer than half the women can read and write, Malala worked toward women's education rights, even after she got death threats to stop. She survived a shooting by Afghan terrorists, and the 15-year-old has been recovering in the United Kingdom, where on Tuesday, she was once again able to continue her education in school. ITV News' Rupert Evelyn was there.
The education campaigner is herself learning again.
You will go to school by yourself, okay? You will be independent.
Anxious and escorted by her father, Malala Yousafzai heads towards her first day at a new school, swapping the classroom of Pakistan's Swat Valley for the private halls of Birmingham's Edgbaston High School.
I think it is the happiest moment that I'm going back to my school. And today I would have my books, my bag, and I would learn, I would talk to my friends, I would talk to my teacher.
It is 5 months since the Taliban attempted to assassinate Malala. Her life saved in Pakistan, her skull rebuilt in Birmingham. She has defied the odds, and with these images released by her and her family, she defies her enemies' attempts to silence her.
Her return to school is a symbol of the simple yet powerful message Malala conveys. Her campaign for women's education will not be stopped, either by a change of country or by a bullet.
We aim that once she's in school, she'll be a normal girl, she'll follow the normal rules, she'll be taught along with everyone else, and we will support her.
Her new school motto translates as faithfully, bravely, and successfully. Her new classmates will not have to look far to find someone who encapsulates those characteristics. Rupert Evelyn, ITV News, Birmingham.
Might seem strange to think of someone risking her life for an education, especially if you've heard news reports about other people dropping out of school. What does your education mean to you? Is it a priority, or are you just going through the motions? Talk to us at CNNStudentNews.com. It's the same site where your teachers can comment on today's show.